All right, Exodus 20, please. Pastor Koch, I'm going to have you read first 17 verses, please. Everybody got a Bible? Everybody knows where Exodus 20 is? Let's turn there. Whenever you're ready, brother.
Exodus 20, verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath.
We read that in my Bible class about 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, and we had a 45-minute conversation that I had to do no speaking. Does anybody in this room know why? So you just read something you weren't paying attention. What if you're a kid and you've never heard that the Bible forbids idols speak? What's the problem? They go to churches that have idols. Uh-oh. See, you sleep through the Bible. Wait till you see somebody for the first time hear the Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. By the way, good kids. One of them is one of the finest young men in 12th grade. Very honorable young man. Very loyal to his family, and his family is good old-fashioned Catholic. He's never read this passage. You think he's going to hear this in church? Yes or no? That's my point. Continue reading. By the way, don't read through the Bible like you're a baby. Read through it like it's your first experience in the scripture. These are God's commandments. Go ahead.
Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord shall not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's.
That's good. That's 17 verses. All right, we're going to do this morning. We've been doing worldview. By the way, I recognize on any given week a third of you aren't here. Seven questions. Origins, where do we come from? Destiny, where are we going? Morality, you have to ask a question. Meaning and purpose, what gives a person meaning and purpose? Of which, by the way, have you noticed how many people don't have a lot of meaning and purpose? I spoke in the Sunday school. Reason you were created. If you do not know that, you are wasting your life. And can I say this? You're always going to be looking for meaning on your next step, whatever that is. My next vacation, my next toy, my next move, my next this, my next that. By the way, you preach this stuff. God created you to work. Amen. I can't hear you. What? And if you don't work, you're going to lack meaning. My mother-in-law, when she got old, said, I'm not of any value. She was not correct, but in that sense she was. Because God created us to work. I can't hear some of you.
That's right.
He created us in relationships, and we don't like people. We spend most of our time looking at cell phones. We think that's a relationship with our cell phone. He created us for worship, and he created us in his world of rhythms. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we're going to come to that later again. Then we deal with identity. That's the fifth question. So then we'll deal with what went wrong, and then we're going to deal with how do we fix it, or can we? All right, today is morality. I'm going to try to bring this down, and I'm going to have you help me. And if you are a family from another country, please don't get deeply offended at me this morning, because I will say some highly offensive things, probably. Not to you, just in general. In your notes, I say I begin with the assumption that our drives are a combination of drives. Otherwise, what drives the engine? When it comes to the subject of how should we live? Now, I can talk to you about academics. We might do some of that next week, but frankly, that's a waste of your time. Most people in this room are not academic, so we have to look at this in reality. So in this room, there's no kids. What do you talk to kids about? How do they make decisions? Who do they become? Who do they want to become? Those are the questions. So really, there's three factors here. This is the first, choosers. I'm putting you in the middle, not you, but you. You look up to people. Who do you look up to? Who do you want to be like? And we'll come back to that, obviously. Secondly, those who you look, it's more, the first one's vertical. The second one, by the way, I just had Jamie, did you trade Bible classes with me 2 weeks ago? Does anybody have a clue why I traded Bible classes? Because the 7th and 8th grade cannot, for 5 seconds, sit down and not look at somebody else. I mean, it's almost to the place where you're, Jamie, am I speaking truth?
Yes.
Where you get a headache. Now, here's the funny part. They don't know they're doing that. They're making their own choices. So the second part of this is obviously, I have in your notes, those whom I seek either approval or acceptance from. And I had a long conversation with some kids. By the way, here's what's funny. I'm a pretty good evaluator of IQ. You learn after teaching for a couple of weeks. 7th and 8th grade is much higher IQ than 11th and 12th on average. Much. Is that weird? But they cannot keep doing this. And I got one looking back at the other one looking at them. And they do it just because they have no ability to break off the social stuff. That's where they're finding approval. They hope. They assume. Well, then you have to get to what I have at the bottom, which are simply drives. So let's just start, if you would, in your notes. You have to start with those I look up to. Those I want to be like. And boy, that is a problem. In your notes, I say, what else might we call these? But I don't like any of these because kids don't think this way. This is how adults try to describe it. First, role models. And obviously, role models is plural. It can be plural. Secondly, heroes. These are other words. Who's your heroes? All right, stop. Adults. We're all adults. Raise your hand. Start listing. I don't care about names. Categories of people that young people look up to. Just give me a hand. Yes, ma'am.
Athletes.
Dominates young boys. So, do you all know what this means? This means all of your conversations and all of your angst does no good until you somehow get between your child and an athlete's vision because they're fixated on athletes. All right, Emily, you said it. How do you know they're fixated on athletes? What they talk about? Amy?
Shoes.
Shoes, actions. Well, Hollywood's a separate category. That's okay. Hollywood, yes. By the way, I'm going to give you these terms. Role models, mentors, all of that is blah, 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 blah language. Kids aren't looking for that. They're looking for people that are above them that they want to be like.
Be like Mike.
All right, I'm going to be kind. I'm not going to say it yet. I'll get to it in a little bit. Look at their haircuts. Kid comes to school with a bizarre haircut. They didn't wake up one morning thinking, I want my hair to point in seven directions. They saw that in either an athlete or we haven't even mentioned another big one. Music. Yes. Though we do live in the generation where you don't have to sing, don't have to write music, and don't have to play a musical instrument. But you're a musician. Have you watched K-pop recently? I have decided I'm going to torture this man. We went to a Korean restaurant that had K-pop. That is the most brain-dead music I have ever seen. Man, no, because we've had it in America, too. Some of you are like, hey, who? That's my point.
I like cotton candy.
No, it's not, because it's irritating cotton candy. It's extremely irritating. We'll come back. Does everybody understand? Who else? Tim?
TikTok influencers.
TikTok or whatever the latest thing is.
Some of you are like, tick who? A tick? I thought a tick was something that crawled up on you and bit you. And then got swollen with blood. TikTok. By the way, yes, the kids know all the influencers, and can I say this kindly? I will mention no names. Within our church, among some of the best families, the parents are exactly 100% oblivious. How do I know, Amy? Don't mention names, because that's the feedback, correct? My child wouldn't do that. Yes, your child would.
And they are.
Yes, they are. And I said your child, not somebody else's child.
Here's the screenshot.
Yes, it's just, whoa. These are athletes for boys, mostly, young men. Hollywood, music, and this amorphous category called influencers. By the way, and they're going to be an influencer for what, about 3 minutes? Because that lasts about 3 minutes on average. Go ahead.
I think with influencers, one of the biggest dangers is it seems the most achievable. It seems like, well, I can do that. I can be an influencer. I can get a TikTok.
Yeah, what they're really saying is that I can go from ground zero. I can't read and write. I don't know math, don't know history, don't know science, hate school, hate life, but I can get on TikTok and make $1 million. Can I say this? Actually, it's true of all of these groups. What they're trying to do is go from zero to somebody without anything in between. All right, Caitlin Clark, is that her name?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The young lady basketball player from Iowa. Not a bad shooter. She had a rough, I watched some of the games, she had a rough first half. By the way, have no problem with her personally. But I hope all of you that like basketball didn't just watch her shoot. There's all kinds of information out there on her diligence and work ethic, which is beyond belief. See, the problem is people that actually make money in these foolish ways are not lazy people. They're working more hours than normal humans work.
She wouldn't be where she is.
Well, anybody like that. You don't do that, but they think, I'm going to go from here to there. All right, let's fill in these blanks, and then we'll move forward a little bit. So really, your first big drive. How do children make choices? Well, you look at those I look up to or those I want to be like. What else might these be called? Role models, heroes, mentors, idols, yes. But we're not thinking of it as idols, but that's what they become. Who I want to be. And in a nicer way, simply this. Those who capture the imagination. Those who capture the imagination. Let's see, I'll give some more there. So is everybody with me? So here, you're going to have a conversation. By the way, we're talking about Christianity, a worldview. Christianity is pretty straightforward. I want to ask you a question. If your life depended on it today, could you sit down with a teenager and talk about the most important Ten Commandments in the Bible? Thou shalt not covet. What do all of these have in common, please? Money. Hello? So here are children, our children, grandchildren, grow up in this culture, and they imbibe all of this, and instead of having a passion to say, I would like, here's Emmanuel Malone. I love his story. Emmanuel's a smart guy, but Emmanuel is a boy. Cleveland, Ohio. The mistake by the lake. That's what he calls it. Cleveland, Ohio. African-American young man. Growing up, he said, we had a school assembly one day, and a guy from NASA came there and talked about engineering. And he said, that's what I want to do. Well, he had definitely the math skills. He still does. And guess what he did? He did well in math, got his degree in engineering. He became an engineer for NASA, and he developed an electronic device. I don't get all of that stuff because that's beyond my pay grade. It's still used. And he hasn't worked for General Electric for a couple of years now. He was the first black executive for that a major national corporation. Got his MBA, but my point is it all started with what?
An idea.
See, Angie here wants to be a doctor. That is a goal worth accomplishing. But kids, do you ever listen to children, even your own? I just want to make money. Money, money, money. That drives this. And they think, look at all the money they have. And look, if you watch creepy videos, and I can't watch them, you know, they're flashing money and drugs and women, and that's filthy. Oh, by the way, but will the children know? Oh, I got to mention this. Has anybody ever heard of the generation gap? So let me say it. I don't know if there's always been a generation. The language is reasonably modern, but I can tell you this beyond any question. In my own family, okay? So this is not about religion. This is about reality. I don't know exactly what year my Uncle Kenny was born, 51 or 52. He's younger than Rita, but older than my brother. The youngest uncle, the oldest uncle. 12 total. This group here, I would tell you that Uncle Florin, born in 1930, Mom, born in 1932, Uncle Bud, born in 33, Uncle Coop, born in 35 or 36, the first four or five kids, minimum, I think it goes past that, had the same basic culture as their parents. There was no generational gap. See, this is what all of you are fighting. Now, I'm going to add, I told you I'm going to be offensive, but I'm not going to try to be offensive. It's going to be offensive because you don't want to accept it. My mother, when she reared me, assumed her childhood. If you've ever heard me teach on child rearing, which I haven't done in a while, I always say, rear your children, not your childhood. You know, if your parents were mean, then you don't want to be mean. That's not rearing your children, that's rearing your childhood. My mother was a good mother with one exception. She had no idea that my culture was different from hers. Because she grew up with grandma's culture was, by the way, I was with them. Mom, grandma, great-grandma, they all had the same culture. Farm people, mothers, wives, grandmothers, cooked, cleaned, sewed, played the same games. Somewhere in here, and I'm guessing, I think I know when it happened. It's the baby boomers. Not because they're baby boomers. Because in 1954, something was invented. He had one. Bad people. It was about this big, about that thick, and it was the first time in history you could do something without your parents, called you could have your own music with a transistor radio. And I can remember, Jim, you didn't do it because you were a good son, putting that 9-volt battery in that.
I've heard stories about him in college. I'm not so sure.
He wasn't so good. 9-volt battery, and if you don't even know what that is, you don't know what a transistor is, and hoping that thing would last for another day, turning it up and having my own music. You're live out there. Now, there are at least 3 problems we face today in this room. Again, not anger about anybody. This is not about you personally. It's what I see in my class. In my class, I have Leah, which is a very nice young lady, and on the whole, not as nice as Junior. Nobody is as nice as Junior, but she's a good girl. But I have Josh. His parents are from, I think, Mozambique, South Africa. I got a bunch of kids from Spanish-speaking countries. Are you all listening? They have a second problem. They have a cultural gap. Because their parents look at them and think, they're just like me. They might look like you. At least I hope they look something like you. That's all good. But see, now they grew up in a totally different culture. I'm asking you, is that correct?
Yeah. Yes.
You say, I want them to grow up back home, then move back home.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because there is no growing up back home. They're here. And now you have a generation gap, which, by the way, when I was a kid, the generation gap, I was in the hippie era. Jim was a little bit before the. You were in the hippie era, but you were worse.
No, I didn't like hippies.
Yeah.
He didn't.
But I was part of that. So my point is, we're a little different here in this room. Mike and age, but I would say this, I grew up in the hippie era. That lasted about 10 years or so. In the St. Louis area from 65 to 75, These little eras last 2 or 3 years now. And they're not even, there's not like just one of them, there might be 12 of them. And then you have this cultural gap. There's a third problem. I don't know how to state it. Boy, this is offensive, and please, I'm not trying to offend anybody. I find this specifically among Filipinos. So, hate me if you will. Filipino culture is a culture that borrows. If you go to the Philippines, you don't see a lot of, I'm talking about for youth, you don't see a lot of their own culture. You see a lot of Japanese culture, Korean culture, and American culture. So now you bring kids to America, you already have this. Does everybody recognize you're not your children?
Right.
Then you have this because you look at them and you think, well, they're my group, and they're not. They're Americans. Now, I taught, and then we'll teach again on, give your kids all of the good part of your culture that you possibly can, and by the way, and leave the garbage back where it was, and take the best of American culture and leave the garbage. Hello?
Yeah.
That'll help your children bridge both and enjoy both cultures. But there's a cultural gap, and then there's this, I don't know what you call it. It's not even a third culture. Not every country has its own culture. And I'm going to say again, I've seen it in the Philippines, the kids there listen to K-pop, which is Korean. And they don't even understand the words. And it's either Japan or Korea or America. So they really have three problems. I don't even know what to label the third problem. Can I have an amen? Do you all understand what I'm saying?
Third problem is like a cultural gap, but it's not explained by having moved from the Philippines to America.
It just adds layers.
It's just a cultural gap because they're adopting.
So I have kids in my Bible class that are Filipino descent this year. I like them. They're smart young men. Their parents are good people. Their parents think they're Filipinos, and they're not. They're not at all. They don't even speak the language. Their parents, by the way, both boys are young men, are smart, talented, good kids on the whole. But I can look at them, and the first thing I see is they're lost. I don't mean spiritually. I mean they don't know who they are. Because their parents are hyper-Filipinos, thinking that's what they are. By the way, I'm not picking on anybody. Ezra, you're going to have the same problem because you're still living, no matter what you try to do, you're still living in India with what you grew up around. And your children are not going to grow up around this. All right? Does everybody hear me? Now, no criticism. It's not about anybody. It's about all of us talking to kids. And when I don't think my father in that generation ever thought, who am I? Because everything was stable. There's a lot of instability now with these three gaps. I don't have a good label for this. It's not just the Philippines. I do not want to be critical. It's lots of countries where other countries' culture dominates them. Now, for all of you old-time rockers, strangely enough, the hippie movement was predominantly British and came here. And we adopted a lot of that stupidity. So we actually were influenced by England, which is weird to me. All right. See, what's the point of this, everybody? What you going to talk to your kids about and teenagers about? Religion? Jesus? You have to be able to take the Bible and get right to the heart of where they are and what they're struggling with. So all of our kids, they have one big thing. They're looking up. You understand the up? Who do I want to be like? Somebody said, and I got to hurry, athletics. Yes. But there's a difference. And I cannot go too far because I would be hated beyond hate today. When I was a boy, basketball was the least important sport in America. But in America, as a country, it was non-existent. All we had basketball, people played basketball. In those days, it was baseball, and then there was some added to football. You probably should ask yourself, why basketball today? And it has nothing to do with this. Did you hear me? Has nothing to do with this. Then you need to do this. Go on YouTube and watch baseball from the 1940s to the 1960s. The heroes that I grew up around don't look like, talk like, or act like the heroes in sports today. Kids are being attracted. Can I say this? This is my language. No, it's not. It's Kevin Bowder's language. If you go back in our day, there were bad baseball players. Yes, there were. But what's funny is kids didn't know anything about it. Your baseball players were required. Do you not know they were required to live certain ways, cut their hair certain ways, dress certain ways, speak certain ways? Do you not know this? Much of the sports world today is highly transgressive. I'll just mention names, my heroes. I was talking to Phil Scott about this, my friend from down home. He knows who my heroes were because they were his heroes. Lou Brock, Bob Gibson, Kurt Flood. If they got divorced, we certainly didn't know about it. Today, the transgressive also do you not understand kids are fascinated by, I don't want to have to work. I don't want to live like my parents. I just want to have fun. All right, in your notes. I do have opinions of things, but they're more than opinions. In your notes, tell me your heroes and I'll tell you some things. I'll tell you, first of all, how you dress. I'll tell you, secondly, how you cut your hair. Next, I'll tell you how you speak. One of the smartest young ladies that ever started in this school that's long, long, long gone, and I am assuming is doing excellent. Young lady from India. Dad was an engineer, mom was a doctor. Very smart people. Amy, I'm going to guess those two boys, or at least one of those twin boys, were as smart as any kid that's ever been here. Would that be correct? Genius level kids, the two brothers. And she was very bright. This is a girl, pure Indian from India, and she spoke like an inner city black ghetto kid. And you're like, because you had everything. Do you understand? You had a generation gap. Hello? He had a cultural gap. Her parents thought, she's us. By the way, a person like most of you, you come here with a drive. The hardest thing you ever do for your children if you come from another country is transfer your drive. Because you were hungry, maybe physically. You wanted to succeed. Your kids, they don't have that drive necessarily. It's a weird, I can remember that girl, and I liked her parents. And her parents yanked them out of here and took them elsewhere. You say, why? Because they didn't want her daughter being around inner city talk. You know, and I mean, you're like, this was a smart girl. But she lacked culture with her parents. By the way, I got a question. Do you think her parents taught her the language? See, you have to do things to bridge the gap where your kids have the best of America and the best of back home. But that takes work, and we don't want to do it. Ma'am.
Would you call that third label a consumerist cultural gap?
I don't know. The third label for me is hard to pin down because it's not just the Philippines. There's many countries that don't have a strong culture. Mm-hmm. And they, in the sense of all of that. Sports and stuff, so they steal from other places and they bring it in. So when the kids come here, they don't even really come from a specific kind of background. It's just very chaotic. I don't know. I don't have good labels, and I don't find a lot of people writing about it. Can I tell you? I see it. That's what I see. This is Pastor Warren's statements. You don't have to like them. Tell me who your heroes are. Or let's say it this way. Who do you want to be like? Who do you like? And I'll tell you how you dress, how you cut your hair, how you speak, and what music you listen to. By the way, friend, if you don't know what K-pop is, do me a favor. I ask this all the time, and I usually have two people to do it. Just YouTube K-pop. And tell me what on God's green earth could attract you to that music. There are guy groups and girl groups, and the guy groups all look androgynous. Androgynous?
Can't tell their guys.
You're not sure what they are. I don't think that's an accident. And I understand why in Filipino culture, with a lot of the reactions to different things, that the androgyny becomes very cute. Not to me. All right. Secondly, this is the harder one. Those I seek are I seek approval or acceptance from. I say in your notes, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Well, we know that, but will kids do that? There's a girl in Jamie in your class, because I know your class, it's the same, I'm assuming Evan has them, but she's a good girl. I like her. I've told her that. Then there's a young man. And I'm being honest, they're both smart enough kids. I think she's pretty smart. They just can't stop looking. Because because everything is, does everybody think I'm cool? Parents, you're going to talk to children about morality? Drop the religion. Yes, Ten Commandments are good, but you've got to apply them to their world until they can stop looking at somebody else. By the way, this influences a ton of things. Let me tell you what this influences. And by the way, this is this part. And this kind of leads like this. You know, I don't know how to draw it. It's you're picking up and sucking up the stupidity and bringing it in. It defines things like, what's this word mean? What's fun? By the way, fun doesn't have to be what I think is fun. I'm just saying, what's fun? So they have a difficult time moving forward. Now, can I ask you a question? Do you work with our teenagers? Do you recognize everything I'm saying? This is where they live every day of their life. And I will confess, to some degree, so did I. I don't even know if you can totally get a child not to do this. If they do, they become an oddball, or weird, or strange, which has its own set of problems. In your notes, this is a verse that helped me at a certain time. Paul says, but as we were allowed of God, 1 Thessalonians 2, to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God. Somewhere along the line, a child has, in this stuff here that's feeding this way, who I want to approve me, who I want to compliment me, who I want to think I'm handsome. By the way, this then deals with sex things, and I'm not talking about sex. The boys want the girls to think they're cool. The girls want the guys to think that all of this stuff is swirling, and it's looking out here. So they're looking up at role models that aren't very good role models, and they're looking out to their friendships. Let me say one more thing about the first point. Sports figures. You will hear sports figures say this repeatedly today. I'm not a role model. You have to understand, anybody over 60, 70, 80, you grew up in a generation where the sports figures knew they were a role model. That doesn't mean they were perfect, but they never brought out their stupid, because that would mean you would lose the very thing you were trying to do. All right, in your notes. We might call this, and there's many things to call it, obviously peer pressure. That's a big one. I think that's the first one. Obviously peer pressure, but kids don't think of peer pressure at all. None. In the sense of, they don't think they're under pressure. They just want, if I'm a guy, I want the girls to think I'm handsome or whatever. And the girls, opposite. It's a very subtle but very obvious pressure. This also has an element of the social contagion. And social contagion, by the way, happens with what? All right, kids in my Bible class, I teach. By the way, I demand attention. Most of them have never been in a class where you must look at me for 45 minutes. They want to play, sleep, and drift. I got two or three kids that are pretty much asleep 2 or 3 days out of the week. Why? They don't have time to go to bed. And if they're in bed, they got their toy in their hand. Parents aren't adults. Parents can't say, all right, time to unplug. Put that over here. Let's lock it up. Because the parents are sleeping with their phone in their hand. But my point is, social contagion is simply this, folks. Your kids are more social than you can imagine, but they're not social with real people. So they're online. Amy, you have seen this. Tim, you've seen this. They're yelling, spitting, hating all night. Used to be, if you got in a fight with your friend, you went home and you weren't in a fight because there was no way to contact them. Now the fight goes on 24/7. Obviously, this is also groupthink. Or how do I say this? Do I even have that in there? Yeah, groupthink. Social influence, to some degree, can become clan or tribe loyalty. We'll talk about that in ethics a little later. It's not a big problem in our circles, but there is in some places you have to be part of the group. Obviously, it's conformity. So this is Pastor Warren's favorite statement of the day. Are you ready? I'm a rebel, just like all my friends. Right, I can't give you this challenge. I needed to take pictures. Mike Rock, I thought we were rebels back in the day. We were taking our stand. You look at a yearbook, and what do the girls' hairs look like? Hair look like? It's all the same. So we were a rebel, just like everybody else wasn't a rebel. But the problem is there's consequences. So we're going to be talking about ethics over the next month and a half. This is my point. You got to start where kids are. Kids are not going to have a philosophical discussion about the morality of the Ten Commandments. They're simply looking up, that's who I want to be like. I want these people to like me. And those two things dominate their world. There's a third one that dominates your world also. And that's number three in your notes. The drives that seek fulfillment or satisfaction. So there is a vertical concept. You say vertical meaning this. It's like looking up. I want to be like those people. There's the horizontal factor. And then there's this stuff down here. These drives. Everybody has them. Every kid has them. Every person has them. You have them. There was a joke when I pastored in St. Louis. Now, this is old now. It will not work anymore. I pastored in an exceptionally wealthy area, the wealthiest area in the state of Missouri. That West St. Louis County, no question, it was the wealthiest. We weren't wealthy, but the area was. If you lived in the area in those days, this would have been in the 80s, you were required. It's funny. Nobody sits down and has a conversation, but everybody drove the same vehicles. In those days, Grand Jeep Cherokee in that area, and you had to have a minivan. And you just saw them every place. Now, if you grew up in Carrollton, Illinois? Come on now. These are not pickup trucks. Pickup trucks, what I had on the farm, they were ratty. They looked like Mike's truck, okay? Only worse. They looked like Mr. Losey's trucks, for all of you that remember, that were you're scared to look at it. No, they looked like a truck. But don't you dare scrap, you know, don't you scrape anything. It is so funny. I went down to a family gathering. And our last name on mom's side is Custer. And understand, there were 11 kids who lived, so I have hundreds of Custers in that area. Every place I looked, there was another truck with a Custer name on the back. Who told them?
Nobody.
But that's a little different kind of a drive. In your notes, that's the horizontal. I want to be like the people I'm around. There's also internal drive. I'll give you three. There are what I call natural or normal drives. There's a lot of ways of writing this down. By the way, natural or normal. Let's just turn on the back page. This obviously does not come from me, nor am I trying to teach Abraham Maslow. But his basic ideas at the bottom are kind of true. You know, you have fundamental at the bottom drives, physiological. Strangely enough, you need to breathe, yes?
Right.
You need food, you need water, you need shelter, you need clothing, you need sleep. By the way, that's the basic person. Nobody escapes that. Above that, you need other kinds of needs, according to Maslow. Health, employment, property, family, social ability. Above that, you need those love and belonging. And his basic premise, by the way, and I don't even have a space to draw it. His basic premise is, if these aren't fulfilled, these can't be, and the farther up the food chain, otherwise this has to happen, this has to happen, this has to happen before you get to the top. I think there's general validity to this, general. But love and belonging, friendship, family, intimacy, sense of connection. So I got a question for you. Why do you think a kid spends all day on the phone? Forgive me, why do you think you spend all day on the phone? Looking at Facebook endlessly. Or kids don't do Facebook, Instagram. What, TikTok, but Instagram, Snapchat still? I remember what Cassie told me, Snapchat had one purpose. Of course, it doesn't work anymore. It had the purpose of sending nude pictures that didn't last. They disappeared after a few seconds. She wasn't wrong. Or text that you don't want anybody to read later. By the way, of course, you can screenshot them now, so that doesn't work. All right. All of these are your natural things. Kids have, They need to be loved, they want friendship, they want meeting, they want identity, they want applause. And the basic things, water, food, sleep, shelter, safety, esteem, air, good health. Then, of course, we move deeper into the person. Is the natural or the normal drives fulfilled in your notes in the wrong way? At the wrong times, by the wrong person. Parents, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't have to read Abraham Maslow. You don't have to know everything about this. But really, much of this, these ideas, are the parent's job. But if the parent is unaware of their job, parents don't even know that they have this because parents are still growing up where they came from, or forgive me, if it's not that, you're still growing up in the 60s or whenever. Things have changed. You have this generational mess, you have a cultural mess, and things keep moving. But the more of this the parent properly establishes, the less a child is interested in this in an absolute way. They're always going to be social. Always. We're very social people. Well, then there's also the unnatural issues. And we have exactly no time, so I'll read the very first one. Mortify. I love that word. Mortify, friends, in modern translations, say put to death. Because necrosate is the word we get necrotic tissue from, and it means death. Put to death, therefore, your members which are upon earth, because everybody also has abnormal or unnatural needs. And those must be resisted. But if you live in a culture, hey, look at me. Number one, what is it called? Instagram person. Who has the most followers? If I'm not mistaken, I think one of them is the Kardashians. Is there any element of the Kardashians that lends itself to good and godly? And I know none of you have ever heard of the Kardashians, and none of the people you've ever met, but somebody follows them by the millions and millions and millions. What are they looking for? Because, listen, you already have drives. Yes? You already have those kind of drives. And can I say this? Since we're all fallen, including your children, you also have abnormal drives. You might want to reach out for something you shouldn't have. Then you're looking up at your heroes, and those heroes are transgressive heroes. They are people that are doing wrong every day. Now it's catching up with basketball. No more having children by bunches of women and not paying for them. The hammer's coming down on college students for playing this game. Can't blame them. But I want to say something. Kids are fixated. They see this guy with a hot woman, and he's got money, and then you already have your own drives that are bad. Plus, you have the drives that are fine, but they need to be fulfilled at the right time, by the right people, in the right way. So, those are your three issues when it comes to morality. What you look up to, those you're looking for acceptance from, or approval. And then there's all of this stuff inside. You cannot have a discussion on morality without those three. That's the introduction. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time together. In Christ's name.